Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The subject of our lesson at this time, the blessedness of a Christian home. Now I want to read to you two rather lengthy passages of Scripture. One from Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the other from Matthew, the 19th chapter. Genesis 2, beginning with verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet or suitable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Our second passage in Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.' And they say unto him, 'Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away?' And he saith unto them, 'Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so.'" There's so many problems today in marriages and in homes. There is so much failure and unhappiness. As one sees the domestic scene as being subjected to divorce and delinquency, there's strife and tensions, one is provoked to ask, "Does it have to be this way? Is this what marriage in the home really is?" Well, the answer is emphatically no. And it was never intended to be that way. There is the alternative if people would pay attention to the Lord. A Christian home begins when two people, a Christian man and a Christian woman who love the Lord and each other, enter into the sacred covenant relationship before God and society as husband and wife. This home continues as they live life in the imitation of Christ. We're mindful of homes that consist of other relationships, such as a home of brothers and or sisters living in the same domicile, extended families of grandparents, aunts and uncles and others, where the will of Christ prevails. They're also Christian homes. But our prime focus is upon homes that involve marriage. In Malachi 2 and verse 14, he speaks of the wife of thy covenant. There is a covenant made not only between man and a woman, but it also involves God. Now, while some contend marriage only involves two, how does one remove the originator and the governor of marriage from the covenant and expect the marriage to be what it ought to be? The fallacy in the thinking of too many is that they've left out God. Marriage is more than a civil or legal or social contract, friend. It is a divine covenant that binds us divinely determined relationship with divinely appointed purposes. The law of God concerning marriage applies to everyone, whether they are Christians or not. Now, if this is not true, then all marriages where Christians are not involved would be meaningless, and children would not be born with a legitimate relationship. And such sins as adultery and fornication would not really be sins at all, since there would be no law being violated. But the law of God governs marriage, and has done so before the religion of Christ was brought into the world. Marriage began in Eden. Marriage must be entered with the determination that it is a permanent and lifelong relationship, such is taught in Romans chapter 7 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Regardless of health, or problems, or poverty, abundance, or age, or whatever, the vow to stay faithful one to another till death do us part is just exactly what God expects. Once a woman said she wanted to divorce her husband because she didn't love him anymore, and she was rightly asked, "What does that have to do with a vow and commitment that God expects you to keep?" Friend, this is the kind of determination one must have upon entrance into marriage. It is for better or for worse, richer or poorer, sickness or health, until death. Now, God is the giver of marriage, as our text reveals. The first home consisted of Adam and Eve, not John and Joe, not Mary and Sue. God performed it, as it were, the first marriage ceremony, because he brought the two together, and that's what a ceremony does. What God has joined together should not be put asunder, Matthew 19:6. Now, understanding this teaching is not difficult. Abiding it gives some people some trouble. It is because they are not respectful of the will of the Lord. The Christian home is where each puts his or her mate before all else, except the Lord. And when one does put the Lord first in life, he or she will put his or her mate before everyone else, including in-laws or friends or neighbors or children or whosoever. The teaching of God is to leave and cleave, Matthew 19:5. The two become united. They compose a team of godly togetherness. They are, as the title of an old song suggested, "It's me and you against the world." It is a case of forsaking all others and keeping oneself to the mate as long as both shall live. Loyalty to one's mate is paramount in marriage and in the home as God would have it to be. The Christian marriage and home is where there exists a relationship of trust and loyalty and faithfulness and confidence. Such relationship produces immeasurable blessings. Proverbs 31 speaks how the heart of the husband doth safely trust in her, and she will do him good. And to have a good wife is a favor from God, according to Proverbs 18 and verse 22. And a prudent wife is from the Lord, Proverbs 19 verse 14. There should be kindness and forbearance and cooperation, consideration and long-suffering. You see, it's no longer me, my, and mine, but it's we and us and ours in all things. The Christian home is composed of two who have counted the cost and who are willing to pay the price and who will reap the benefits from God. It is where love not only exists, but where it is expressed. It is where you know you belong, where you're accepted, where you are loved. The Christian home is where human ties of love and compassion are at their very best. Now, this does not mean perfection, but each one seeks the other's highest good. That's what love does. The relationship of the husband and wife is sacred, and it is used by the Holy Spirit to depict the tie that exists between Christ and His church. He is to love the wife as Christ loved the church, and she is to reverence the husband as the church does Christ, Ephesians chapter 5. What a blessed influence a Christian home has on children born into such a home. It was said of Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 19, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." In Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, in Proverbs 22, 6, Both of them place heavy responsibilities on parents in the rearing of their children, to rear them the way God wants them to be reared. To know why children are the way they are, whether good or evil, consider the home from which they come. The home is the laboratory where children are molded and formed into adults, either to God's glory or to reproach. The home is where Christianity is seen by the young eyes as they live day by day. In the Christian home, they see selflessness and honesty. They see the sacrifice for what is right. They see morality and honor. They see the dignity of labor and purity of speech. They see respect for others. Entertainment and recreation are compatible with living for God. They learn to spend and to be spent for the cause of righteousness. They are taught to respect God and His will. They are taught to respect authority, His rule. They learn to discern between good and evil. They learn to have a love for the church. That's what they learn in a Christian home. Christian homes provide godly memories that serve throughout life. The inhabitants are provided strength, a rich and righteous heritage, something to live by, something to live for, a recognition of the mission and purpose of life. They have goals and aspirations that lead toward heaven. In such a home, the child is taught duty and responsibility. He cultivates self-respect as well as respect for others. He is given a pattern to follow in life. Blessed is that person who has had the privilege of being reared in a Christian home. The Christian home is concerned for the spiritual salvation of every member of it. We should often consider Noah. Noah lived in such wicked times, even to the extent that God determined to destroy the world by the flood. But Noah was a righteous man, and he was at least able to save his own family. Will we do as much? He found grace in the sight of God, Genesis 6 and verse 8. We can do that also if we will walk with the Lord like He did. In the Christian home, each person is taught to love God and to obey the gospel and to serve faithfully in His kingdom. He learns to worship, being a righteous steward of all that comes within His power. He gleans knowledge from the Word that is the light and guide of the home. The primary goal in any marriage and in any home that is pleasing to God is to help each other get to heaven. And a Christian home contributes to the good mental and emotional and physical welfare also. Such homes are free from undue strife and tension and hate and competition and pressures that can and do destroy good health in those areas. The Christian home is composed of people who will follow the way of the Lord, who will learn how to cope with whatever life brings. There is always the source of hope and comfort and assurance of ultimate victory. There is the providence of God. Happy homes produce happy people. The home ought to be a haven in the midst of the storm of life, an isle of refuge. In the home, one should expect help and encouragement, advice and consolation from those who love most. A Christian home is a relationship that is nearest to heaven that this world affords us. Yes, the home is the basic unit of society. From homes come all of our teachers, our government leaders, businessmen, preachers, merchants, everyone. From the home come the standards of morality of the nation. And the stream will rise no higher than its spring, nor shall the land be purer than its source. Society reflects the condition of the home. There are so many social problems on the national level in America. Dear listener, the answer to our problems is Christ and homes produced by the way of Christ. There are many people in the world who have the distorted idea that unless they can just do some great thing, meaning something that brings attention and public acclaim, that they are not doing much of significance. That is a false view. There is no more productive and far-reaching contribution to the good of mankind, both in this life and the next, than to establish and maintain a Christian home where the Lord reigns supreme, and all members of the home lovingly seek His will and the spiritual salvation of each other. Each of us can have this quality home. It begins with becoming a Christian. It continues by being a faithful Christian. It is up to each one to do his or her part, father, mother, child, or whatever other relationship one has toward other members of the family, and to see that they are what they ought to be, and together live in and partake of the benefit from and perpetuate in the home the will of Jesus Christ. May we never be satisfied with anything less, for there is great blessedness in having a Christian home. May this be characteristic of your home, and to have it that way, it begins with you. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.